Psalms chapter number 33, and also going to read Psalm chapter 9, verse number 17. I've been preached to you this morning on the thought of the God of a nation. The God of a nation. Psalm chapter 33 and verse number 12 says, "Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His inheritance." Psalms chapter 9 and verse number 17 said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the Word of God. We thank You for this time that we have. And I ask You this morning that You just help me, Father, to be an able minister of the Word of God, that You speak to our hearts, that You lead us, guide us, and direct us. Open up our heart and our ears that we might hear and receive the very Word of God. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. George Washington said, "What students would learn in American schools above is the religion of Jesus Christ." Thomas Jefferson said, "The Bible is the cornerstone of liberty." The God of a nation can be seen by the direction of a nation, by the direction that it takes. There are many today that try to say that America was not founded on Christian principles, but that's a false narrative. Amen. I want to just share with you a couple of things this morning as an introduction. The Peace Treaty of Paris. Now, if you don't know what the Peace Treaty of Paris is, it was signed by David Hartley, who was the British ambassador, and John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, and John Jay. And it was the treaty that was signed in Paris, and it ended the American Revolution. It brought peace with Great Britain, and it officially established America as a nation. It established America as a nation. And here is the opening statement of that particular document. "In the name of the most holy and undivided Trinity." Amen. Who are they talking about? God. Amen. That's how that it begins. When we look back at the first motion of the First Continental Congress, that motion there in the First Continental Congress was a motion to open with prayer. The most popular painting of the First Continental Congress is the painting of them kneeling, standing, hands folded in prayer. That's the most famous painting. Now, am I trying to say that all of our founding fathers were Christians? No, that's not what I'm trying to say. I hope they were, but I tell you what they had. They all had a sense of morality that directed them towards God. They recognized, whatever their faith, that there was a right and a wrong, and that God was at the center of that. We look back even a little bit farther than that. George Washington, who would later become the first president of the United States of America, when he was chosen to be the commander of the army as the revolution was beginning, his first general order, and so I guess you could probably say the first general order given to the military in America, and then it was not America, it was the 13 colonies. But the first general order, he said this: "We cannot afford to curse or get drunk because we cannot afford to offend God. And we need His divine help. Also in His orders, He said, on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., the companies with chaplains shall hold worship services. Where there are no chaplains, the nearest church should be attended. But he went a little farther because he said this, because this was mandatory for officers. If you were an officer in the Continental Army, he didn't just ask you to go to church. He commanded that you go to church because the officers should lead by example. Washington went on to add that to the distinguished character of patriot. And amen, and that's God help us. A lot of folks don't want to be an American patriot. Amen. I want to. I want to be a patriot. I love my country. But Washington went on and he said, to the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian to our name. Now I'm talking about the God of a nation. I'm talking about those that say that, well, America wasn't founded on godly principles. It was. The Bible was historically the primary textbook and the cornerstone of the American education system. The Bible. During the colonial era and the early years of the United States, utilizing the Bible in schools was the standard norm. Early Americans believed that literacy was necessary so that individuals could read the Scripture, absorb moral values, and effectively practice self-government. Need I say more to establish the fact that America has been founded on Christian values? It was. It was. Now, was everybody that came across Christian? No, they wasn't all Christian. But amen, there was a bedrock there of Christian beliefs and of beliefs in God and what it meant to do that which is right. And there was a recognition that God has given us a certain rights and laws and that we should abide by those things that God has given us to do. And therefore, amen, America was born. Everything that happened in America and everything that happened then and that has happened since, has it all been perfect? Far from it. Has everything in your life been perfect? Amen. Have you ever done something that you know, if you could go back 50 years, what would you change? If you could go back 25 years, would you do something over, do it different? Amen. If we could go back to yesterday, we'd probably change something. But I tell you what, it's the greatest nation on the face of the earth. God has blessed us to be here and to be a part of that. And we celebrate 250 years. And our text verse says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom He had chosen for His inheritance. And you see, the Bible tells us and it talks about the nation of Israel. Amen. God chose them. The Bible speaks about Israel in their day. There was not another nation like them whom God had chosen, God put His hand on to bless them. And even today we look at them and boy, just in the world that they live in, they're just a little place, just a small little strip of land, amen, in the middle of a bunch of folks that hate them, but amen, but God had chosen them. God did. And America has been blessed by God, and we can thank our founding fathers for the bedrock, for the foundation, amen, that they laid. See, they laid a good foundation. They laid it upon the principles of the Word of God. You see, the Bible tells us this in the book of Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? See, our founding fathers knew this, and thus it was their goal to line up their standards with God's standards and to walk with God. Amen. To do things the way God would have it to be done. There was a godly standard that was set, and amen, and they walked in that standard. We live in a day and a time where mankind wants God to line up and walk in our standards. Man, they have set their standards and they want God to agree with them and walk with them, and thus what happens? Man walks alone. Because, amen, God's bar has been set high. Man's bar is down low. Man's bar, we could even say man's bar is down with the animal life, is low in this world that we live in. But yet, man wants God to agree with him. But see, the Bible tells us this: if God is Lord, then we must walk with him. You see, even years later, I believe it was Abraham Lincoln that made the statement along these lines that it was not his greatest concern whether or not God was on his side, but his greater concern was the fact, am I on God's side? Am I on God's side? And that's very important, because mankind today wants God to come down and be like them. God wants us to, amen, he's trying to change us. He sent his Son to live and to die so that we could be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we could be conformed to his image. Not so that God might could stoop down and walk with us and be like us. You see, John's Gospel tells us in John 14 and 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. That is, amen, walk with God. If we love him, his commandments, it's not just about what we say, it's about what we do. Because there's a lot of things in life that's easy to say, but amen, they're a lot harder to do. Amen. I was reminded just the other day of a young lady. We was coaching softball. And she said to us, she come up, Miss Ford softball season a few weeks before it started. And she told me and another coach, she said, Coach, she said, started a program. She said, I'm running a couple of miles every day, exercising. She said, I'm getting ready. Well, that sounded good. How long you been doing that? She said, well, I'm thinking about starting today. You'd have to know her. But amen, you see, I can relate, because there's been some things along that same line I thought about doing too. I just ain't never got around to it. Never got around to it. Listen, even I'm going to tell on Brother Milford this morning. Even last night while we was all sitting around, and boy, everybody had, we had had hamburgers and hot dogs and cake and brownie and all sorts of stuff and good. And somebody said about needing to exercise as much as they ate. And Brother Milford, he said, well, he said, I stopped eating right before I knew I was fixing to have to exercise. He said, I didn't eat quite enough to make me get up and exercise. See, he had that figured out. Right? You know, he knew that point and he cut himself off. He was disciplined. A lot of us, see, I can relate, because I got that same kind of discipline. I cut myself right before I think I need to exercise. I quit. Because you know what? Because it's a whole lot easier to just talk about exercising than it is to actually do it. It's a whole lot easier to think about that I need to get up 45 minutes earlier in the morning so I can get my exercise and my walking in and all this kind of stuff to start my day. Amen. That sounds good. And I think, boy, I could. But listen, I tell you what. It's a lot easier to say, I love Jesus. Oh yeah, I love. We can put that on Facebook. Well, Jesus said, if you love me, he said, keep my commandments. Uh-oh. And that's where we seem to have derailed in America. Because see, listen, we still, I see it a lot, and you do too around. We still sing God Bless America while trampling on the very Word of God. God bless us. We gonna curse and spit in your face and walk all over your word, but God bless America. That might be as close as y'all ever get me singing a special. God help us. Amen. Our founding fathers, amen, knew that it was important, amen, to hear and to do the will and the word of God. That it was more than just a book, it was God's law. And more than man's law, God's law was what we needed if the country was to survive. If you'll turn with me to the book of Leviticus chapter number 18. Leviticus chapter number 18, and just read a few verses, because Leviticus says a lot of things to the nation of Israel and a lot of things that's relevant to us. Leviticus, you know, we might read it a lot of times and think that's not an easy book to read, but there's a lot of things in there that it talks about. And in these few verses, what we're getting at is God's telling the nation of Israel, I want you to live different than Egypt where you come from, or from Canaan where you're going. Different. Listen to what he says, Leviticus chapter number 18. In verse number 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt wherein ye dwelt shall ye not do, and after the things of the land of Canaan whither I bring you shall ye not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. And amen, this is what our founding fathers knew about the nation, about walking in where God would have them walk. And listen, we have the nation of Israel as an example, because God told them, you've been in Egypt. God, amen, judgment had to come, and you were in captivity in Egypt, and you watched how the Egyptians lived. And listen, not only did they watch, but amen, while they was in Egypt, amen, they become comfortable with some of the things that Egypt did. God said, nah. And listen, God help us. That's what happens in this world. I think it McCamey's had a song. I don't know if they wrote it or who wrote it, but it talked about getting used to the dark. When they lived in Egypt, they just kind of got used to it. But God said, you coming out of Egypt now. And you know how they lived, and I judged them because of how they lived, and I'm fixing to judge the land of Canaan for how they lived. And he said, don't you live like Egypt, and don't live like Canaan. Where you going? And I'm going to just be honest with you. You can look through the book of Leviticus, and you can see some of the things, just some of the things here in this particular chapter, but this is not all of them. There's many things that he told them, listen, don't do that. You are a peculiar people, a holy people. God has called you unto himself. But just in chapter 18, some of the things that spoken of is things that, you know, we don't even like to mention from the pulpit, but amen, it's what God said. Some of the things that's listed, he said, you don't be caught doing these things. Incest, adultery, idol worship. And in their idol worship, listen, there were some that they were offering their firstborn to Molech. Amen. History tells us that they would take of their firstborn and place it, amen, in the arms of a Molech that was on fire, and they beat the drums loudly to try to drown the cries of the firstborn children, and the parents were to watch and to show absolutely no emotion as they sacrificed their firstborn to a Molech. You wonder why God judged them? These different things, homosexuality, bestiality, all of these things were taking place. And these were just some of the things that were being practiced in the nation that God was destroying, or that God was bringing judgment to. And He told Israel, don't do these things. And God help us, listen. There's things that's going on in, and I'm not talking about just in America, I'm talking about in the world. I get news from around in different countries where, listen, this morning probably some got up and went looking for places like this to church so that they could kill everybody that was there that said they was a Christian. For no other reason, that's all. Women and children, I mean, just trying to annihilate them, to get rid of them. The evils in our world, even Paul himself, amen. I read in the book of Acts just talking about how he stood as they stoned Stephen, amen, for his testimony for Jesus. Amen. Yeah. And you know what Paul thought of himself when God saved him? Paul thought of himself, he said, I was the chief among sinners. You see, Paul didn't really feel like there was anybody that was any worse than him. How could you be worse than me? He knew what he had done. How could you be any worse? There are many things, amen, many evils in this world. And yes, there's many evils that have been taking place in our nation. But God help us, just as He told Israel, He tells us, amen, you are a peculiar people. Amen. God has separated us to live and to worship and to do not according to the things of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Follow God. Follow God. And listen, I'd be willing to say that not many of us in here, maybe none of us, don't have some relatives that I know I do. And listen, I love them. That practice things that, listen, first off, they just lost. And I can't get them to come to church. Some of them's in different places. Some of them think, you know, I know how you got your way, I got my way, everything, you know. Listen, it's not my way, it's God's way. We're either walking our way or God's way. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end of those ways are death. God help us. I looked and I find, amen, in the book of Lamentations, and I want to read to you Lamentations chapter 1, in verse number 1. It says, how doth the city sit solitaire that was full of people? How has she become a widow? She that was great among the nations and prince among the providence, how is she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks among all her lovers. She hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn, because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate, her priests sigh, her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries are the chief, her enemies prosper, for the Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. Now just those five verses could sound just like America. It's not where we started. But see, here's the thing. There's never been a people, even God's own people, Israel, that He called. He told Israel, He said, here's how Egypt lived. Here's how Canaanites lived. Don't you live that way. He said, I want to bless you. But He said, I'm not going to bless you if you live like them or them. If you're not going to live according to my law, then that means, and guess what happened? Well, whenever they disobeyed God, God judged them. And somewhere along the way, we think, and America thinks, I believe, that somehow we can do anything that we want to, any way that we want to, and there ain't going to be no judgment. But listen, that don't work for individuals. I've seen some children that, and this is a sad thing. I read just a little letter the other day from a young man to his mother that he was, basically what it said in short, he was in prison. He was on death row. And he had told his mama, he said, Mama, he said, really, in all truthfulness, you should be here with me. And he talked about his whole history from a little bitty child right on up and how that everything was always okay and nothing was ever his fault. How that there was no discipline, amen. How that there was no consequences for anything that he ever done. But you see, in reality, we all know that's not true. It can't be true. Listen, we live in a world, we think about in this world that we live in, we think about some of the awfulest and the wickedest people that we know. I mean, we think about the Adolf Hitlers of this world and all the atrocities that ever he did. And amen, in the end, amen, he just committed suicide and he is gone. Well, did he get away with it? Well, some would say, yeah, well, I mean, yeah, he didn't really suffer for you. Listen, that's not how it works. You can leave this world. But amen, no. There's no justice in that. But let me tell you what, there's justice with God. There's justice with God because you see, in the verses that we read in Psalms chapter 9 and verse 17, it said, the wicked shall be turned into hail in all nations that forget God. And in this particular passage, because see, sometimes when in the Psalms, when you read talking about being turned into hell, it is talking about just dying and going to the grave, depending on the context. But here, amen, that's not what David's saying. Because when David says that the wicked shall be turned into hail, he's not just restricting that to the world of the dead, of the graveyard. Amen. Because, amen, they was burying the righteous just like they were the evil. Amen. They was going to the same place. Demands that what he means is hell itself. This is the fate of all nations, it said, that forget God. And I believe that this morning that we as a nation have seen just a foretaste as we watch the hail that unfolds on our streets and in our communities in America today. God help us. Why? Why so much violence? Because we forgot the God of the nation. You see, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 18 says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. This is what happens to a nation that forgets God. When we begin to do things man's way instead of God's way, these are the dreadful results. It says that many walk, of whom I have told you often, that now even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. I'm going to tell you what our founding fathers were not. They were not enemies of the cross of Christ. I don't know exactly where every one of them stood and what their faith was, but amen, but they recognized there was a higher power. That man was going to have to give an account one day before God. And amen, they established our nation as such. And amen, and God has brought us a long way. 250 years. Amen. Happy birthday, America. If God was to tarry, boy, something's going to have to happen to get another 250 years. God, help us. What can we do? 2 Corinthians 7 and 14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their lands. Amen. Sister Debbie comes this morning for a song of invitation. I want her just to play this morning. When a nation forgets God, the consequences are dreadful. When men decide to do things their way instead of God's way, and listen, men's been doing that for a long time. Cain thought he'd do things his way instead of God's way. And amen, it was a mess from the beginning. I'm thankful for our founding fathers and for what they have done. But what about us today? What can we do? If my people, he said, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. God's still able this morning. If you stand with us this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15 says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Who is your God? Do we still have a desire that God be the God of our nation? Will we pray for our nation? Is He your God? While we wait this morning, if there be a need in the building, I pray you come while our sister plays. If you desire prayer, we want to give you an opportunity to come. And amen, we're going to pray. Thank you.